And now, from the Room 111 studios, it's Hacking Engagement with James Sternovan.
Well, hey there, listener. Welcome back to the Hacking Engagement podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I wanted to produce an episode before school started, but I wasn't sure if I could pull this off. See, I'm starting school next week. I'll be teaching all new classes at a brand new school, and I'm going to be teaching at the college level, which is a big change for me. Now, I've done some adjunct work, you know, some dual enrollment class at the high school level, but this is different, man. I'm going to be teaching on a college campus. I'm really excited about it, but needless to say, it's been a busy summer. I'm excited to embark on my new teaching journey, but I wanted to get one more podcast out before I started the process. I've got some really good ideas for episodes coming up. But I wanted to get one more in before I went back to work getting ready for next week. This episode is short and simple, but it has tremendous potential to positively impact the way your class operates and, more important, student learning. 10 years ago, my room was cluttered. It was a mess. My wife has a label for people like I was. She'll go, well, he's a piler. In other words, has lots of piles of papers sitting around the room. Piles on top of piles. A label was true for me 10 years ago. I did have a lot of piles of paper stacked in chaotic places around the room. I wasn't proud of this. But when all of my students filed into class each morning and the day just erupted into a frenzy of activity, my energies turned toward engaging them and not organizing the flurry of papers that I distributed and then collected. You know, I can remember some times, like right in the midst of instruction, a student would say, hey, do you have an extra copy of that? And then I'll start looking through piles, man. That's a buzzkill, to say the least. So this unsatisfactory situation changed when my school started using Google Drive. The piles of paper in my room, they just magically disappeared. My drive was organized and easily accessed, and my uncluttered room took on a feng shui zen-like character. I was transformed into such a paperless fan that I decided to create a landing pad for many of the assignments that I gave students. This virtual collaboration igniter is what I'll highlight in this episode. It's not revolutionary, but it's powerful. I thought it would be useful to share a great and simple idea on the last week of summer. Hey, so get this, listener. My publisher contacts me and says, I love the way Hacking Engagement is selling. How about doing 50 more? I was all over it like a cheap suit. So the name of the book is Hacking Engagement Again, 50 Teacher Tools That Will Make Students Love Your Class, and it's going to be available on Amazon's virtual shelves in the late summer of 2017. In the meantime, if you're looking for more teacher empowerment resources, as always, visit hacklearning.org. Now let's get back to the solutions part of the Hacking Engagement podcast. My landing pad is merely a Google Doc that contains my class roster. So all you do is you go and you find your class roster on your learning management system. You copy that list of names and you paste it on a Google Doc. Now, you know, some learning management systems, they're going to put tables in there and the kids are in the cell of a table. Just talk to somebody really smart at your school that can show you how to get around that and just make a list of names. Now, these names are, you know, originally in alphabetic order, which is fine, because that's the landing pad that you're going to keep in your drive. And then when you are ready to use it, you just hit file. You just make a copy. And then you can rearrange those kids into groups any way you like. Now, on my show notes, there is an image of my landing pad. I took the students' last names off to preserve their anonymity. But if they were still there, you would have seen that alphabetical order was not the way the students were listed. I grouped them based on the work they were going to do on this project. Once you have your names grouped, you have to change the sharing settings. Just go up to share and make the document editable. That is really hard to say. Editable. Make it so your students can change it. And then you copy the URL and you provide it to students. And when they are done creating, and it could be a narrative on a Google Doc, it could be a Google Drawing, which also has a link. It could be virtual timelines like StoryMap, like I talked about in an earlier episode. A lot of these platforms, they give you the option to share what you've done as a link. So students would want to copy that link. It could be an image, or it could be a video. Whatever your students have created, if they can get a shareable link, this works like gold, man. So what they do is they go on the landing pad, they highlight their name, they go up to the insert tab, and they copy and paste the URL, and voila, their name turns blue. Their name turns blue. Now, if you were to look on the image of my landing pad, I have students broke down into groups of four. And what we did was a jigsaw activity in which the students, each group of four, each member of the group had a certain aspect of a concept that they were going to research and then enlighten their peers in a peer teaching situation when they got back. Now, there's a couple of groups. I think I had seven groups total, but there were two groups where a student's name remained black. And in that case, what's happened is the student has not turned in the work. Now, the kids in that group might seem like they're at a disadvantage, and they are to a certain extent, but there's an option for them. They can go to another group, and they can open the links of classmates in other groups and get that information that they need. And, you know, you can look around. You can find, like, some really talented students who may have done that aspect while a student in your group did not. You can even bring that kid over as a goodwill ambassador to enlighten group members even more. So I love how this facilitates learning. Now, there are five advantages that I want to highlight about utilizing a landing pad. Number one is paperless. Students don't lose the prompt or their creations. And as long as they have technology and internet, they have anywhere, anytime access. Number two is collaborative. As I mentioned before, in the image that I have, there were a couple of groups that were shorthanded. Or here's another example. You have like your peer collaboration day and there's some students missing and then they didn't get the work in on time. Those students in that group with incomplete information have an option. They can utilize the links of other groups with the landing pad. That's really powerful. Number three, it ushers in a high level of accountability. It's painfully obvious who has done the work and who has not. And this is what I love. Teachers know when they step in the classroom who has completed the work and who has not. You don't have to go around the room and say, so-and-so, did you get the work done? And they're like, nope. And then there's that awkward pause. If you see that a student their name has not turned blue, in other words, a link has not been inserted on their name, you stop them before they get in the room. And you say, hey man, can I help you out? I saw you didn't get this done. Are you confused on how to insert the link? Was there something that happened last night I should know about? You can do that remediation beforehand, and you can even put those kids that don't have the work done in a separate group during peer teaching and have them work to complete what they were slackers on. So there's that opportunity as well. Number four, from a management aspect, I think it's just outstanding. Check this out. I once lost a student's project. Or at least I think I did. I think I lost it. The kid swore he turned it in, and, you know, whether he did or not, I have no idea. I had my doubts, but me losing a paper was certainly plausible. This scenario in my classroom is now a relic. I know exactly who's turned in their work, and I never walk out of the building, I love this part, with a stack of papers under my arm. And then have to lug it back the next morning. I walk out of school empty-handed. Hallelujah, that's wonderful. And number five, and I love this one, it facilitates learning. If you've ever heard of influential Australian researcher John Hattie, he wrote a book, landmark book in 2008, Visible Learning. Well, he's still at it. His thing is he likes to focus on influences on student achievement. And I have a link on the show notes to his 2018 updated list of 252 influences on student learning. Now, here's what's awesome. The jigsaw method came in seventh place out of 252. It's a powerful learning tactic. So if you utilize a landing pad with the jigsaw, it is a wonderful way to facilitate this jigsaw method. So here we are at the What You Can Do Tomorrow section. The first thing you need to do is create a Google Doc of your class roster. This is going to be what you make copies of throughout the semester. So keep it in your drive and don't change that Google Doc unless you have a student drop your class or get added to your class. Next, you want to make a copy and rearrange the names into groups of your liking. Next, you want to make this document editable. Again, that's such a hard word to say, editable. Wow. You want to share this link with the students and direct them to highlight their names and then insert a link for their completed work. And finally, on collaboration day, encourage students to access links of classmates outside their group to fill in any gaps. Please try the landing pad this semester. Wouldn't you like to walk out of school empty-handed tomorrow, huh? Well, good luck tomorrow engaging your kids.
Show notes for this episode can be found at jamesallensternovant.com. If you enjoy Hacking Engagement, please subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes.